Well, I tell you, the first two sessions were absolutely incredible. If you missed any of those, I encourage you to go on. We're going to have all the sessions online that you can go back and look at. We've got all the notes on a resource table at the end. But the first two sessions, Pastor Rob, phenomenal job, really laying the foundation for the whole focus of today. And that is basically, we want to emphasize in the church across the board, in every ministry, the idea of faith at home. Faith at home, faith at home, faith at home. That it begins at home. They got to see it at home. And he did a great job of laying that out, the case for how important that is. Clint did a great job from the child's perspective of, okay, what impacted me as a kid? What made me want to serve God? What made me want to live for the Lord? And he did a great job of laying out three principles for parents that impacted him on why he wanted to live for God as an adult and make that choice to live unto the Lord. So what I want to do right now is I want to focus on, really this is the only session of the morning that is going to focus on marriage. Now, some of you I know are not married, you're a single parent. And of course, my hat is off to you. I know how difficult that is. I just want to say up front that there are principles that you're going to use in this lesson. The name of the lesson is called A House Divided Cannot Stand. When it comes to child rearing, the old expression, united we stand, y'all know the expression, don't you? What is it? United we stand, what? Divided we fall. And boy, that is so true when it comes to child rearing. If the father and the mother are not united in their marriage, if they're not united in their child rearing philosophy and their child rearing goals, Clint talked about the importance of visualizing the goal. What's the goal? Where do you want to take your kids? Where do you want them to end up? Clint said. And that's important that the mom and dad be on the same page with that. And if mom and dad aren't on the same page, the child is going to pick up on that. And they are going to use they're going to use that to their own fleshly carnal advantage. Now, if you're a single parent, probably there is someone that is a significant influence in your child's life besides you. Maybe it's an aunt, you know, your sister, or maybe it's an uncle, maybe it's a grandma, your mom or your dad. Maybe it's a person at the daycare, you know, but there's someone probably that also has influence in your child's life. So a lot of the principles are going to apply to you too, single parents. But I want to focus on marriage and the importance. Our goal, and this Denise and I, our goal for our kids was not to raise good kids. You hear parents sometimes say, well, you know, he's a good kid. And I hear that a lot in the context of, my kid is grown now, they're raised up, they're in college, or they're an adult, they're married. And a lot of times I hear it in the context of, well, they're not in church, but he's a good kid. You know, they don't go to church and they don't really, they're not conducting themselves after the Lord, but they're good. In other words, they got a job, they pay their bills, you know, they take care of their kids' needs. The goal as Christians, and I hope you agree with me on this, our goal isn't to just raise good kids. We want to raise godly kids, don't we? We want to raise kids that love God. We want to raise up kids that when they get older, that they hold to the Bible as their final authority in their life. We want to raise up kids that love the Lord, that really don't bolt from church when they're 18 or 19 or 20 or 21. They don't bolt, but man, they want to be there. They want to keep learning. They want to keep growing. They love God. And so that's the goal, parents, is not to just raise up good kids, but raise up godly kids that love the Lord. Now, if that's going to happen, it's very crucial that mom and dad be on the same page. Mom and dad need to build a strong marriage, bottom line. You got to build a strong marriage. When you become one flesh in marriage, God's plan is that you become lovers and best friends. The Song of Solomon is a book that depicts the beauty of and the satisfaction of the marriage relationship. And in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, the bride looks at the bridegroom and says to him, "This is my beloved, my lover, and this is my friend." My lover and my friend. Paul talks about how a husband in Ephesians 5:29 is to nourish and cherish his wife. The idea of cherishing is the idea of delighting in each other's company, holding each other dear. Now, when that happens, that does more for kids than you will ever realize. Denise is my best friend. My kids know that. Not because I tell them that. I don't think I ever tell them. Okay, they just know it from what they see. Clint knew growing up, and you just heard his session, he revealed a little more than I really wanted him to reveal there in that session about our home. But it was great. I'm just kidding. But Clint, you know, you heard in that session from Clint, and one of the things growing up I think that he knew is that I cannot drive a wedge between mom and dad. I cannot do that. They won't allow me to come between them. They won't allow me to take precedence over their relationship together. And when parents are united like that, and they're best friends, they're lovers and best friends, that does more for kids than you'll ever realize. You know, I just say this, it's not a sure thing. It's not a sure thing. Just because you have a marriage license doesn't mean you're going to be lovers and best friends. In fact, I would submit, I think it's strangely absent from most marriages. I think there maybe are moments of good times, but to say that daily and consistently we're lovers and best friends is rare. And I think that it shouldn't be, though, in Christian marriage. But I do think there are some essentials that make that happen. And it brings so many advantages to the child, which I just want to take a few moments here and discuss with you. And again, I want you really to just listen. The notes for this lesson will be on the resource table today at the end. But I want to share with you some essentials to building that kind of a marriage, which is going to benefit your children in the long run. The first thing is this. Number one is that married couples must enjoy a close companionship. Too often, here's what happens. A couple gets married, and over time, they begin to build their own separate lives. And the close companionship that existed in the dating relationship is gone. I'm sure most of you can remember when you dated. When you dated, you just wanted to be together. It didn't really matter what you were doing, where you were, how much money it cost. You just wanted to be together. You just wanted to hang out. Well, when you lose that and you each begin to build your own separate life, that spells trouble. Because over time, you begin to drift farther and farther apart. You're not living and you're not functioning as one flesh. Now, how does that affect children? Because that's the focus of this conference, is on parenting. How does that affect parents? I'm sorry, how does it affect kids when parents begin to kind of build their own separate lives and they don't have that close friendship, that companionship? Well, here's how it affects kids. Because mom and dad really aren't on the same page on a daily basis, the kids lack accountability. Things begin to slip through the cracks. There isn't that consistent discipline that Clint just talked about. There isn't that family closeness. And all of that spells big time trouble for the child and the teenager. You think about this when, and I know a lot of us can't even relate to this unless you're like me and Denise and our family. Basically all we watch is retro TV and retro movies, you know, from 40s, 50s. And when you look at that, it becomes very apparent our society was once very rural. It was very normal for families to work together, to talk together at night, to play games together, to relax together, to go places together. I mean, it used to be when it was more rural, it was a big event to go into town, and the whole family went together, you know. Or, you know, it was normal for the family to go and sit in church together because you had a small country church and they didn't have children's ministries and teen ministries and lots of, you know, so families would sit in church together. They'd worship together. They would serve God together. And that was a normal part of life. Well, that's, you know, our culture today is very busy. In the busyness of our culture, and we live in a very fast-paced, urban-type society, what happens is it's very easy for married couples and for families to become fragmented. There's so many different things out there to get our attention. Families, marriages become fragmented. They become divided in everything they do. Basically, what happens is a lot of marriages and a lot of families, they share a roof. They share a roof. That's about it. They don't share much in activities, interests, hobbies. They share a roof. They share the same physical address. It's very crucial that mom and dad not allow that to happen. And that you give your, you decide, you just make a decision. It's a choice. We're going to give our time in areas that bring us, you know, husband and wife, and that bring our family together, not fragment our relationship. There are so many hours in a week. We know that. And Brother Rob did a great job of laying out, you know, there's only so many hours in a week. And you got to make a choice. We're either going to pursue interests that we can share together, which results in us growing closer together, so that our most enjoyable moments in life are spent together. I would submit that many married couples, their most enjoyable moments are spent apart. You know, he's with the guys doing this or doing that. She's with her girlfriends doing this or that. And that's not healthy. That's not good. You want your most enjoyable moments to be spent together and as a family. So you can either pursue interests that you share together. And by the way, there's plenty of those. You know, I never took up golfing simply because I knew I was never going to reel Denise in to be a golfer. All right. And so to go spend 3 or 4 hours without her, I just didn't want to do that. You know, so because she wasn't going to like it, I wasn't going to do it. You know, what I'm saying is I don't feel, you know, that I'm suffering in any way because there's so many thousands of things you can choose from, activities and hobbies that you could both enjoy. You know, and Denise and I, we found things that we like doing together and that we both like. So those are the things we pursue. So you can either do that or you can pursue interests that you don't share, which results in growing apart. And your kids will suffer when that happens. The second thing I want to share with you is this. Not only do married couples have to have a close companionship, you got to have that friendship. But the second vital thing to building a strong marriage, which impacts your children, is that you have to experience meaningful, ongoing conversation. Not only that close companionship, but that meaningful conversation. That's crucial, not only for your marriage, but for your children. When mom and dad, I'm going to make a statement. I want you to hear this. When mom and dad are talking daily, I'm talking about meaningful talk daily, and they're on the same page, kids win. When mom and dad are not talking regularly, kids lose. It's that simple. Men, man, I'm speaking to my own right now. It's harder for us than it is for our wives, this thing of communication and conversation. But I want you to remember something, guys. Remember this. Your wife probably fell in love with you during your dating relationship because of the time that you spent exchanging conversation. Now, I know you thought it was your big biceps that did it. Okay? You thought it was your physique and your big biceps that did it. But let me let you in on a little shocker. All right? It was the meaningful conversation that you had that drew her to you and that bonded you together and made you want to say, I do. You got to know each other. You shared your hearts. You confided in each other. You discussed your thoughts, your innermost ideas, your innermost goals. You shared your plans. You know, bottom line, guys, you talked. Why did we talk? Well, because we wanted to make a good impression, right? We wanted her to like us. So we talked. We wanted to demonstrate to her our ability to be fun and witty and charming, right? And so we talked. And we talked. Well, I just want to submit that needs to continue after marriage. It is crucial to the health of your marriage. You know, we talked about being lovers and best friends. Well, friends talk. I mean, if someone's your friend and you don't ever talk to them, I have to doubt whether they really are your friend. If you never talk, why do couples quit having meaningful conversation after marriage? Well, I think there's a lot of reasons. I think we get too busy with work. I think we have different interests, which I talked about in my first point. We become selfish. We get tunnel vision for what we want to do. We get tunnel vision for what I want, my sports, my hobbies, my TV programs, this and that. And when that happens, not only is the married couple the losers, but your children are the losers. When mom and dad are not having regular meaningful conversation, kids get away with mischief. When mom and dad aren't talking, kids learn to work the system and play mom against dad. When parents aren't talking, kids clam up and they don't talk because they learn from mom and dad. See? And so the kids, when everybody gets fragmented, kids watch. They okay, I get it. And so they go to their bedroom and they play their video games, or they sit in front of the computer like a zombie, or in front of the TV. You know, they keep everything internalized. They don't talk. And of course, then they get to be a teenager and you're like, why? You know, it just blows our mind. Why are they doing that? Why are they doing this? You know, and you can't seem to get inside. They've learned to clam up. They don't see mom and dad talking. The family doesn't talk. We don't talk to each other. We share a roof, but we don't talk. And so they learn. So my point is that, you know, it hurts kids. When couples are having daily meaningful conversation, three things happen. You come to understand each other more clearly. You learn what it takes to meet each other's needs and the kids' needs. And you become best friends. Or maybe I should say you stay best friends. You're best friends in the dating relationship. You stay best friends as you talk, as you share a close companionship. You become lovers and best friends. When all that happens, not only are you the winner, but your kids are the winner. And then one final thought. If you want to build that Song of Solomon type relationship and be lovers and best friends, not only do you have to have a close companionship, pursue interests that you share together, not only do you have to have meaningful ongoing conversation, you got to talk every day. You got to spend time together, talk. But number three, the last point, is that you have to display respect for one another. The world says, you need to love yourself. The problem in most marriages is that we love ourselves too much. We're too self-absorbed in what we want. Men, your wife must be number one in your life. Nothing comes before her except your relationship with Jesus Christ. She needs to know that, and the kids need to see that. You're in love with your wife. She's your top priority, and your kids know it. The Bible talks about in Ephesians 5:33 that a husband should love his wife even as himself. Ladies, let me talk to you for a moment. You should demonstrate respect and admiration for your husband regularly in front of the kids. That does more for him and more for your children than you will ever know. Ephesians 5:33 says that a wife see that she reverence or respect her husband. That's really big. It's big. You know, find ways to praise your husband in front of the kids. You know, find ways to build him up. Find ways to brag on him. Be his biggest cheerleader. He needs to know you're in his court. You know, you're in his corner. And that you're his biggest fan. Now, here's what happens. When couples show disrespect for each other in front of their kids, it does incredible damage to the kids. When you scream at each other, you speak demeaning words, you have a critical spirit towards each other, or just flat out meanness, you're not only scarring your spouse, you're scarring your children. So I want to implore you Every married couple has arguments. Every married couple has disagreements. Every married couple gets on each other's nerves. Every married couple does things that aggravate the other one. You know, it's okay to say amen right there, all right? We all do. We all have that. That's life. But I want to implore you, never fight in front of your kids. We've never done that. You know, we've never just openly fought in front of our children. We seek never even to show that we're, you know, disagreeing, especially when it's related to the kids. We would never disagree in front of them. If Denise ever did something with the children that I thought maybe was over the top, or I thought maybe she was just being too emotional, or I thought it was too hard on them, I would never say it in front of the kids. Because right away, they begin to see there's this division there that they can use and they can work the system. Now, I may talk to her privately about it, but not in front of the children, because that would cause them to lose respect for her. Don't ever fight. Don't ever say disrespectful things about each other in front of the children, because it does so much damage to them. Show proper respect for one another at all times. Even if you're a single parent, and even if maybe the other spouse is still in the picture, what do you really gain, you know, by just ripping that other person? You know, and it may bring you a degree of satisfaction to think that you've undermined that ex-spouse to your children, and that they're going to love you more than them because of what you've said. 9 times out of 10, that backfires. You know, I've seen it. I've been around the block a lot. 9 times out of 10, if one parent continually undermines the other one, the ex, the kid ends up going to the ex when they get older. It's just funny how that works. But you hurt your own integrity when you talk about the ex-spouse behind their back to the kid. You can't do that. You know, never allow the children to think for a minute that they can pit one of you against the other. They need to know that, hey, mom and dad are unified. They're unified. They're a team. They're together. Husbands and wives, Bible says we are one flesh. So we got to live like one flesh. And that will do more for your children than you will ever know. Again, I just want to speak to single parents again and just say that if there's another person that's a significant influence in your child's life, you have to be on the same page. If it's grandma, aunt, uncle, friend, if there's another person that's a significant influence in your child's life that your child's spending a lot of time with, you've got to, same principles, you've got to have that daily conversation with that other person, making sure y'all are on the same page. You know, you've got to share with each other. You've got to talk to each other for the good of that child. You have to, you have to have that respect for each other. You got to make sure grandma doesn't undermine the parents and the parents don't undermine grandma if grandma's watching them every day, you know. So there's these same principles apply in terms of that, okay? So, you know, the title of this session was, what was the title? Here it is. I got a different title on all mine than what ended up on here. But anyway, a house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand. So I just encourage you to take these principles, and if you're not lovers and best friends, go to the Lord, talk to each other today. Say, hey, you know what? We really do. We needed that. And just be honest with each other. Say, you know, we got to block off time every day to just talk, just be together, pursue things that we enjoy together mutually. Spend time together as a family. Turn the TV off and just talk, you know, or play a game together. But we've got to get back to some foundational things here that were there when we dated, or they were there in our early marriage, but we've kind of let them slip. Our life's getting fragmented. We're each going our different ways. We're each building our own lives. Just admit it. And let's get back to these principles. Your kids will be the winner. I promise you. Okay? Let's pray.